to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. 4-0, Haaland hat-trick. But there were some big, big moments in this game, folks. Mohamed Salah might have had a hat-trick. At 0-0, Liverpool in the opening 30 minutes of this game were good, positive, taking the game to City. Fiat and Ekotike linked well. Salah missed a great chance, went clear, put it wide. And then Ekotike in the penalty area, last one over the top. But then a talking points after that. Van Dijk's challenge on O'Reilly, penalty. Haaland makes it 1-0. Then we're saying, can Liverpool take it into the break? The answer is no. We concede from our own throw-in in first half stoppage time. Semenyo's cross, Haaland scores. Second half, again, we concede a third goal, again from our throw-in. Semenyo scores, Haaland completes his hat-trick. Salah has a penalty saved by Trafford. But a disappointing day, but some self-inflicted wounds. It could have been different, but a disappointing result. City 4, Liverpool 0.
An afternoon to forget at the Etihad for Liverpool as they exit the FA Cup. We will get the thoughts of Arne Slot here on the reaction, as well as our studio pundits Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer. First, though, to Neil Mellor, who watched the action unfold at the Etihad Stadium with Rob Jones.
Becky, thank you very much. Another tough watch this afternoon. At times, it didn't feel like a 4-0 game, but unfortunately, that is how it's ended, Neil Mellor.
Miserable day. Absolutely, yeah. The scoreline reflects our mood at the moment. It's painful. Started okay, you know. Ultimately, you have to take your chances when the game is still in the balance at 0-0. I think of the Salah chance, I think of the Ekotike one, we don't take them. City were clinical today. You know, they go in front 1-0 with a penalty, and then you're thinking, just get through to half-time at 1-0. We'll regroup, we're still in the game. We concede a goal right on half-time. That's a massive blow. Then you're looking for a reaction, start of the second half, and it's a reaction from City, who go from 2-0 to 4-0 within 10 minutes. And the game was very much done then. So it's disappointing. We come to the game with hope, with optimism. We knew how difficult the game was going to be. But we just didn't give City a game today. It's really disappointing.
I remember a game here, probably getting on for 10 years ago now, where it was in the balance and then Sadio Mane was sent off. And it felt a little bit like that with the penalty today, that it was pretty even. And the moment that goal went in, the whole thing changed.
Yeah. I think with the two games we've played City so far this season, there's been big incidents which might have changed the outcome of the game. And we could say to about the officials, that's one you got wrong. Can't have a go at the officials today. We really can't. We've been given a soft penalty ourselves, you know, and ultimately we didn't take that opportunity. It wouldn't have mattered in terms of the outcome. Feeling down. I'm sure the players will be. And ultimately in football, you have these bad days. You don't want them, but we've had one today. And it's about responding because it's a massive game around the corner. The last thing we need is for heads to be down, for anyone to be sulking. We pick ourselves up because it's a massive game around the corner. Today was really tough. Really tough to watch. Painful. The players will be suffering. They'll be hurting. The fans will be hurting and suffering. And it's about recovering as quickly as possible and focusing on PSG on Wednesday. Because, by the way, they'll be better than the City side.
It felt like also a contrast between arguably the two great players of the Premier League era in maybe the last 5 years, that Erling Haaland scores a hat-trick, comes off to the great acclaim, and Mo Salah misses a penalty, as you said, had other chances in open play, and you could see the frustration that, again, it just wasn't his day.
No, and it happens. You know, another day Salah could have had a hat-trick himself. You know, think of the chance in the first half, good tackle, the penalty, keeper makes a good save from him, he puts one over as well. So he's had moments in the game where on another day he might have taken them. Haaland taking those chances. And I think we didn't take the chances. They were clinical today with those opportunities when they came along. And they really enjoyed themselves there. And for us, it's a case of regrouping and trying to be ready for a massive game on Wednesday night.
You said it there, that the players will be hurting, I think, from being inside the ground. It's the sort of thing that really probably embarrasses you as a player today, in the sense that you're being olé'd. And it's these two, as we said before the match, have been the great powers of English football for the last 5 or 6 years. And that will not be nice to be part of, particularly that last half an hour or so.
No player wants to get beat. No player wants to get beat as convincingly as that. You want to be in the game. You want to stay in the game. And being with a chance, and I just felt as though at half-time, Liverpool never gave themselves a chance to be in the game. At 2-0, it became 4-0 too quickly. And in case of, okay, if we're not quite playing well, we can't allow them to be scoring goals so easily as they did. So it's Yeah, I hope it's a one-off. You know, I have to say that. I know we've had some tough away days this season, but they've all been close. You know, this feels like a rare, huge, a big defeat. And I hope this is the last one that we do see. And we see a response. You know, ultimately the players, they can't change what's happened today. We know that. But hopefully for the games around the corner, and we're talking about PSG on Wednesday, it's a two-legged game. You know, two tough games to play, and then Fulham in between. So we want to see a response.
But the big point about the Champions League is, as you said, it is two-legged. We spoke about this draw before kickoff and how different it might have been at Anfield. Is that the key for Liverpool on Wednesday? Just get back to the second leg, still in the tie. It can't be like today in terms of scoreline.
No, and what you would say is, you know, PSG, as they showed last year with the best side in Europe, that they have goals all over the place. You know, City have scored four passes today. PSG are a lot better side than Manchester City. So they are vulnerable defensively. They will give us chances and we have to take them. We didn't take those chances when they came along today. But yeah, we can't allow a scoreline like this to happen on Wednesday night. We very much have to be in the tie at Anfield. I felt as though Anfield made a big difference in that Galatasaray second leg. You know, we lost the first one 1-0, but the crowd were absolutely right behind the players and made a difference. And let's hope from the first leg, whatever the outcome is on Wednesday, that we are still in it and we can turn it around or we'll go on to progress to the semi-final.
Neil, thank you very much. Unfortunately, there is not much of a gloss that you can put on today, but as Neil said, Liverpool just have to dust themselves down and go again on Wednesday in France.
Thanks to Rob and to Neil at the Etihad. Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer are here with me in the studio, and a truly tough one for us to talk over this, maybe one of the toughest points of the season, and the dressing room will be feeling that very, very deeply right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It was amazing, really, because I thought for 30 minutes they'd done quite well, Liverpool. I thought they were the better side, had the better opportunities. Mo could have scored. Hugo had a great chance where he volleyed it over the top of the crossbar. But then as soon as the first goal went in, it was... what went wrong? I mean, where was the leaders, you know, just saying to the players, OK, all right, we've got to go behind, but make sure we get in at half-time with that scoreline. And then if they'd done that, then the manager could have tweaked one or two things, and then they came out with a more positive attitude in the second half. But the second goal was pivotal for them. I mean, the confidence they got after the first goal was incredible. All of a sudden, they all want the ball. Everyone's in positions where they're getting it, moving it, and they were getting in behind Liverpool. But it was just the simple passes that was getting in, which was a worrying sign for me. Just simple threaded ball with a run, no one picking up. I'm looking round at the defenders. Everyone's caught out of positions. Now, what I talk about leadership is keep your shape. Just keep your shape. You stay in that position. But you need to organise. You need people to organise. Getting your midfielders in front of you in positions where they're not chasing after the ball and leaving spaces and leaving opportunities to play the ball behind. But the second half was really worrying, you know, particularly with the upcoming fixtures that Liverpool have got.
Yeah, I think as Ray says there, as much as you could see City growing in confidence as the goals obviously went in, you could also see Liverpool's resistance just break after that first goal, and specifically the second as well, which came just before half time, which is such a key point in the game, Jason. And we speak about confidence all the time. I mean, footballers are superstars in many people's eyes, but also human beings as well, and it affects everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a real fragility about Liverpool when they concede, whether it's an equaliser or they go behind. You can see body language, you could see reaction. It's not what it has been in years gone by, seasons that passed us, but today, I think it really knocked them, because Ray's right. You know, for 35 minutes, Liverpool were the better team. They created the better chances. And you just felt there was a real energy to the way they were playing. A bit like the Galatasaray.
A lot of intensity, wasn't it? Yeah. They started on the front foot.
Started really, really well and weren't rewarded for that. I felt it was a similar setup to Galatasaray with Wirtz left, obviously Salah right. But then they took right in and they made the pitch quite narrow and they got quite a bit of joy from it. But once they sort of put a lot of energy into it, didn't convert the chances, which, you know, can be few and far between in these games of high quality, then they go and concede a bit of a soft penalty against the runner play. And all of a sudden, it was like a heavyweight throwing a punch, and all of a sudden you get rocked by it and think, whoa, how do we come back from this? And then, you know, you're looking for a reaction. You don't really get it. They don't know whether to be open, to go for the equaliser, to get in for half-time. And like Ray said, there was far too many gaps to being exploited. And the second goal, for me, it was disappointing in the fact that there were so many things that could have been better Vert could have tracked the runner. Kerkez could have defended better. And then you've got Konate, who gets done on the run from Haaland. And then it's such a big goal going into the half-time.
But that actually came from Liverpool's throwing.
Yeah.
It's Liverpool, Kerkez throws the ball. Liverpool give the ball away, and then you're looking for a reaction. Where's the reaction? Mm. No, I counted. Liverpool had five players in the box defending that situation. Mm. Manchester City had two. So you've got 5v2, and their player still gets a free header. How does that work? How does that work out? Because that comes down to the lack of communication, and you're not getting in the right positions. Mm. If I'm playing against a striker, I should know his strengths. What's Haaland's strength? What does he want to do? He wants to get across me. He's got pace, he wants to get across me. I've got to block the run. So my first reaction is get my hand out. So he's going to run, he's going to run into my arm. And then I'm going to block his run, so he's not going to get it. If it goes over my head, there's not a lot I can do. I can't be in two positions. But I make sure I know that's where he wants to go. I'm going to stop and go into the positions he wants to take up. And that's what we didn't do. Caught on the heels, he gets a march on Konate. Flicked header, keeper can't do anything about it. But there's so many little things that are going wrong. In the build-up to the goal, and there's no one taking command of it. There's no one pushing the others to get into the right positions.
You almost got the impression Liverpool were kind of standing off because they knew how important it was to get to half-time without conceding again, and just kind of hoping that City wouldn't get that opportunity, but obviously they did.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they didn't know whether to stick or twist, did they? And then all of a sudden, you know, you end up doing nothing, and then, like Ray said, you end up getting punished. And, it's really hard for us here because we, you know, when you're on the back end of a defeat like that and a performance like that, you really don't want to stick the boot in. You know, you really want to be positive and you really want to say, you know, you really want to kind of look after them. But I just feel like there's a resilience problem with Liverpool. I don't know where it's come from. You know, they shouldn't be, because the Premier League champions, they've got world-class players right through the ranks. You know, they've got a top-class manager. And I don't know where this lack of resilience is when they go a goal behind or they concede. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's a mental thing. It's happened so many times. You look at Tottenham at home, you look at Bournemouth away, you look at Brentford. It's like we concede and you can see like the life.
I think it's twofold. I think it's a lack of confidence. Mm. I think throughout the team at the moment, when things aren't going well for the side, there's a lack of confidence throughout. And I think the other thing is, people are looking after themselves. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't matter if I'm not playing well, I'm going to make sure he's playing well. I'm going to make sure he's playing well, because I'm going to be on them all the time, right? Picking up positions, making sure they're getting in the right positions, even if it's not working as well for me as I would like. But that's how you should be playing the game, is making sure that everyone is motivated and getting into areas where they can affect the game. But I don't see that with the Liverpool players at the moment. Because things aren't going well, they're like, well, I'm going to look after myself at the moment. You can't play football that way. You have to make sure that everyone's talking, everyone's communicating, everyone's getting into the right positions. And if you do that, then you won't get the little mistakes that you're getting, and then you'll get yourselves out of it. But that just comes down to that confidence thing, a bit of belief in each other, but you're looking for leadership as well.
I imagine it's one of the hardest things to work on as a coach, bringing confidence back into a team, because you know you can go to the training ground, you can work on tactics, shape, but the only thing that breeds confidence is results, Jase.
And I believe in yourselves. I think in the dressing room, Ray's right. You know, it's down to leaders in the dressing room that, you know, when it's not going well, you pull everybody together. And, you know, whether you iron it out yourselves behind closed doors, whether a few harsh words are said in the dressing room after the game, whether finger pointing is the way to do it. You know, the dressing room is very different from when me and Ray played. You know, that wouldn't be tolerated, that performance in our dressing room. But we played in a different era, you know, and it was acceptable to take the criticism, you know, in the dressing room from senior players. I'm not sure it happens now. I'm not sure that happens in the dressing room anymore. I don't know how they figured it out. I don't know what happens. I'm not privy to that. We're not that close behind the ropes. But in our day, you know, it was down to personal pride, personal performances, and figuring it out for yourself, but also as a collective. And you'd be told, listen, if you weren't doing it, you would be told. And you go on the pitch knowing that. And, you know, how that brings a response, well, is there to be proven. They won titles and everything. So, you know, it was just, that's just the way it was back then. It's difficult.
Last season when Liverpool were winning the matches, you know, it wasn't always the attackers that was winning the game. Defensively, they were nice and solid. But at the moment, the defence has been a bit of a problem, the goals that they've conceded. And they'll probably say that there isn't much in front of them that are helping them out as far as putting a shield on to stop the opposition playing through. Because the balls that were played were coming from the central midfield, you know, straight balls, and then, you know, running at Semenya where he went through. It was a lovely weighted pass, and he's got through, and he's finished it off well. But you've got to come back to, you need a base to play from, and you need the defence to be as strong as they can. And only the lads will know why they aren't playing at the same levels this season that they were last, because they were brilliant last season. You know, a lot of games that they were involved in, a lot of clean sheets, and it came down to how solid they were. But just in this season, it hasn't been anywhere near as strong as that, and the players have got to question themselves why that's happening.
Yeah, having that lack of confidence, it affects everything, doesn't it? Because you overthink everything that you're
it's
doing as well, doesn't it? The free-flowing, thinking football that you want, that instinctive side of the game. When you haven't got confidence, that goes.
Exactly. You know, some of the best performance that you would have seen from Liverpool on years gone by, they probably can't explain why it was so good. It just happens. There's an instinct to playing football, and, you know, there's also a lack of confidence which makes you think. And all of a sudden, you know, the timing in this game, everyone thinks they can play football, but when you're actually out there at a professional elite level, it is so quick. It's ridiculous how quick, and you have to think in them instants. And it only takes a millisecond to make the wrong decision, doesn't it? Or to be in the wrong place, or to get the wrong side. When it's going well and you're not thinking, you're always the right side, you're always making the right pass, your touch is always great, your way to pass is always good. You know, it just all works in tandem, and everything's just free-flowing, and, you know, your results and your performances come from that. But once that goes, once that confidence goes, and you get 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 players start thinking, then it becomes really disjointed, and, you know, passes start going awry, you know, wrong decisions, players getting across, you know, you're defensive, you're not looking, and then you start looking after yourself, and he's too, and then it just becomes a mess. And then before you know it, you know, at this level, you're punished.
Yeah, you were saying that goal came the second from a Liverpool throw, but the third one as well, Semenya's also came as a result.
Yeah, Joe Gomez threw it down the line, you know, and then give the ball away, and then everyone's looking around at each other for direction. Where should we be? And I always thought throw-ins were really easy. You know, you just throw it to your nearest man and he volleys it down the park. And it's fairly standard to do it. But then once you've thrown it down the line, then you're looking for people to just manoeuvre into the right position. But to be caught out in the manner that they were was quite worrying at that stage, because, you know, you should have a shape, you know, particularly coming out. So we conceded, was it in the 48th minute or around about that, you know, and then 4 minutes into the second half, you conceded the third.
Yeah.
So I would imagine the manager at half-time has come out and said to them at half-time, right, make sure we're solid. You know, it's not just about now, it's what happens on Wednesday as well. We've got a big match coming up. We've got a lot of games between now and the end of the season. Make sure we get the defensive side of things right. And that's from the attackers right through to the back. When you say that about defending, I don't just mean the back four.
Yeah.
I mean the whole team. How do you defend as a team? Everyone getting back into the right positions. So you'd be looking at your strikers. Are they affecting the game in that way? Are your midfielders in the right positions to put a shield up in front of your back four? And why is it one of the Man City players has got the freedom to sort of pass out, to get Semenya running in behind Virgil van Dijk, to put it into the back of net? Because I think when I'm looking back at Konate, came across to cover Joe Gomez.
Mm. Yeah.
And then that left a gap between him and Virgil van Dijk. And then that ball threaded through there, and Semenya showed his pace to get in behind and then flick the finish beyond the goalkeeper.
We can hear from Arne Slot now, who's been speaking with the media in his post-match press conference.
Arne, can I just ask you first of all your thoughts on the performance and the result today?
No, I don't think you have to ask me about the results, because that speaks for itself. That's an unbelievable disappointment. Losing is already a disappointment. Losing with 4-0 and in the quarterfinal of an FA Cup against a team which Liverpool played so many times great games against or fights against, and then losing 4-0 is of course a big disappointment. The 20 minutes where we conceded 4 goals were not of our standard.
How do you turn this group then into one that can go and beat PSG? Champions League obviously is your final remaining chance for silverware this season.
Yeah, that's for silverware, but it's also very crucial that we qualify for Champions League, of course, for next season. Yeah, of course, there are only 3 or 4 days to go, so there are a few things you can do. But and one of the things we need to do if we play against Paris Saint-Germain or against Man City, teams of this level, you need to defend better than we did in the 20 minutes we did when we conceded the 4 goals. I think no one will probably remember it, but the first 35 minutes, there was a lot to like from my team. And it would be nice if we then can score a goal once in a while as well from the chances we create. And again, we faced a team that was outperforming their XG by a mile, and that's what's happened constantly. And we every time are under us, under that. So, but if you want to have a chance of beating Paris Saint-Germain, you have to do both parts better. You have to, if you generate a chance, you have to score, and you cannot be so easily beaten with the 4 goals than three, because the penalty was with the 3 yard goals, so we conceded.
Understandably, we've spent the last week talking about Mo Salah, how great a player he is, but do you need more from Salah and Van Dijk and the other senior players to help you out?
Nah, I wouldn't like to point out to individuals after a loss like this or after a disappointing season that we're having. So I think it's about the team, and Mo had a few good chances, which is always important because you want players like him to get chances. And I think that's what, in general, we did this season, getting him or other players in good positions. Unfortunately, if you look at not only on today, but the whole season, the amount of goals we scored is far too low for the amount of chances we created, but definitely for the Liverpool standard.
Hi, Anna. Dom gave an interview to TV and he said that the fighting spirit wasn't there, and it did feel like maybe there was a little bit of, as he said, it was 4 goals in 20 minutes. How much of a worry is that, that almost felt like heads dropped a little bit when that first goal goes in?
Yeah. Yeah, I should ask him what he means and what he means with him. In what period of time, if he felt that was the whole game. I did not feel this until the moment they scored the 1-0. And I think after they scored the 1-0, we were still in the game. But then we had a throw-in. Twice we conceded a throw-in. When we had a throw-in. And they go so fast. Yeah, in those moments, you have to defend sharper. The second goal was a similar one we conceded earlier on this season over here. And the second time that we conceded just before halftime playing Man City. And I missed the fighting spirit definitely in the first 10 minutes after halftime. And then afterwards, it was just a game where both teams accepted it was 4-0. But in that 10-15 minutes of time, I missed fighting spirit, but just the willingness to win your duel, to be there first, to make it difficult for either a pass or a cross or a finish. Yeah, that is something what we definitely have to do better on Wednesday.
Yeah, there were some videos on social media of the fans leaving early, maybe seeming a little bit frustrated. What would your message to them be now ahead of, as you say, a big game in midweek?
No, we don't want them to leave early. We have to perform better. And that's the first thing. And we have to show now that we react after a loss like this and after so many disappointments we already had this season. The good thing is the fans have always been supportive, even today. During large spells of the first half, they were very loud. Before the game, they were very loud. So it's up to us not only to react for them, but also to ourselves. And that's what we need to do Wednesday when we again face a very good team, where we again need to play as we did in the first 35 minutes. But in moments of defending, we need to be much more ruthless than we've been today.
You mentioned it yourself, actually. A couple of things I was going to say about the two throw-ins and not blocking crosses and also kind of not tracking runners and things like that. I mean, they are the basics of football, yeah. The very basics of football, whether you're playing at this level, whether you're playing on a park, it's the very basic of football. So as a coach, when you ask yourself tonight why your players aren't doing the basics, what's your answer?
Yeah, that I don't agree with what you are saying, but in moments, you're completely right. So if you tell to me, from the 15 runs Man City is making, 15 times my players don't run, I disagree with you. But if you simply look at the goals, there I see runs that are not being followed, I see crosses that are not being blocked, I see duels in front of goal that are not won, then you are completely right. But that's not the story of the whole game, but every single time we forget to block a cross, we forget to defend in front of goal, we forget to follow a runner. Every single time it's a goal.
It's not the pattern of the game.
No.
I'm not saying, but it was the pattern of the crucial part of the game.
And
when you go 1-0 down,
agree.
You know that's then the crucial part of the game. And,
yeah.
And that is when they don't do the things that they've got to do. So why is that?
Again, in the moment, I don't think they had a chance after the 1-0 till they scored the 2-0. But yeah, I completely agree with you. If you look at the way we concede a goal, I see the same pattern, but that's not a pattern over 90 minutes, but that's a pattern in how we concede a goal. And then you sometimes miss indeed the lack of need to understand that if you're 1-0 down just before half time, you have to do everything right to go with 1-0 down to half time. And sometimes it's about maybe trying to score the 1-1, but in other moments, making sure you don't concede. And like I said, in those 20 minutes, the way we defended when we conceded the 4 goals is absolutely not good enough. And I see exactly the same things as you said.
Concentration, effort.
It's a bit of everything. It's effort comes first, I think. Of course, if you look at how they outplay that in the timing, the moment of Haaland comes in, but I think we have to try to make it more difficult for them than we were doing, because they're already good players. And if you don't make it difficult to good players, it's immediately a goal, and that's what we saw 4 times. And Wednesday we face, again, very good players. So we have to make it more difficult to them in those moments when we have to defend than we did today.
Related, really. Do you think the fact that you have that 20-minute period where the game goes, is that the head drop after the first goal? Is it an inability to kind of cope with a setback? Is it tactical? Is it panic? What is it you think that causes that kind of the difference?
Could be a bit of everything, of course. But like I said, it wasn't as if it was chance after chance after chance. So when it's chance after chance after chance, you concede, you start to feel like maybe we should change our game plan or our tactics. But if it's moments, which it were, because I don't think they had many more chances than the goals they scored, then it's about understanding the importance of a moment and understanding that you need to be ruthless in those moments, even if things go against you or you're mentally maybe a bit, you find it a bit hard. That again, you're 1-0 down after 35 minutes where you felt you were at least equal to the other team. And this has happened many times to us. So yes, mental could be a part of that, but it's never an excuse, because if you play in this shirt, if you play for this club, then being 1-0 down or 2-0 down is never an excuse not to put that effort in that specific moment in. Then it's almost impossible to get a result if you face teams of this quality. If you let your runner go, or you don't block a shot, or you don't block a cross against players of different level, you can maybe get away with it, but not at this level.
Barney, Liverpool have lost 15 games this season. That's the most since 2015. When you've had a lot of defeats, what do you do as a manager? Do you change the message when you're looking to get intensity back or fighting spirit back? Is there a change in what you do, or is it reinforcing messages, or what?
Nah. I think throughout the season, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, you constantly adjust to what you think is necessary to win the next game. So if you've won 3, you're also wondering by yourself, what should I do next to make sure they're ready for the next one? And this is also what the current situation is. So yeah, the reaction is not always the same after the 15 losses we've had. And you try to react in a way or do the things that I think we as a staff think is necessary to either challenge them or either get them back on track again for Wednesday evening.
The thoughts of Arne Slot there. It is PSG up next, of course, Ray. And while they, of course, will all be feeling really disappointed about today, they just can't afford to dwell on it, can they, as attention now switches to the Champions League?
Yeah, and not only that, the manager's got a big call as far as team selection's concerned as well. Who's fit? Who he can rely on? Who he can trust? These are all the things that be going through his head at the moment. He'll be talking to his coaching staff, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. The players have now got to come in training in the next 2 days is to show the reasons why they should be in the starting 11. You know, that's what I'd be looking at. I can't, on the performance today, I couldn't tell you who the manager's thinking, who'll be in the starting 11. But the next couple of days could determine that from the players' training and what they do as far as that's concerned. But overall, you've just got to try and go in there as best you can, knowing that the opposition are a very good side. They're a keep ball side. They like to keep the ball and play in behind you. So shape is going to be hugely important. You can't go out and try to start chasing after them to try and win the ball back, because they'll just pick you off. A bit like City did in the second half, because they're very good at that. You know, they want you to press, and then they're very good at finding the pockets of space in behind. They've got very clever, intelligent players to get into them areas of the field. So it will be making sure you've got a good game plan that you're going to adhere to, and make sure that you carry it through for the 90 minutes. But if you go a goal behind, you can't drop off in the manner that Liverpool did today, because you need resilience, you need character, and that's what the manager will be looking for.
And it's a fierce atmosphere over there as well, isn't it, Jason? Yeah. And that I suppose would be the fear, that were PSG to go ahead, especially early on, Liverpool, as Ray says, have got to find that strength of character not to fold in those conditions.
Yeah, they've been over to Turkey, haven't they? And they've obviously experienced what Galatasaray are throwing at. Maybe it's not at that level, but it's an intimidating place. It's not been a great place for us to go away in Paris. I've been there quite a few times. Like I say, the crowd, funny enough, this end to the left there, they make a lot of noise. And obviously last season, Alisson was brilliant, wasn't he?
Phenomenal.
It kept us in the tie, and then obviously we get back, and I think it was penalties we went out on, was it?
It was, yeah.
But it was a tough night for Liverpool. And like Ray said, you know, they've got really intelligent, clever players. And if Liverpool are as open as they are today in the second half, they will be picked off and punished by Paris Saint-Germain. They need a solid game plan. They've got to go there with some kind of resilience and character from today. There's going to be a lot of noise and fallout from today's results and performance. They've got to try and keep away from that, and go there and give a good account of themselves. Play with some pride.
Yeah, and there has to be some heart rate to be taken from some of the performances in this competition this season. Yeah. Have been some of the best performances of the entire campaign. You look at Real Madrid's,
Inter Milan, of course, Eintracht Frankfurt,
Galatasaray as well,
there's
Marseille.
There's been some very good performances. And that hopefully will be a positive for the players. But, you know, just a couple of defeats that they've had recently to Brighton and obviously today, how does that impact them going into the game? Because football is a confidence game. You know, as you said earlier, and Jason was saying, like, when things are going well, everything's second nature. It's simple. Everything's so simple. You're not worried about making mistakes because you don't think you're going to make any. But when you're in a bad run of form, everything becomes difficult. You know, even the simplest of tasks are very, very difficult. I mean, I've got to say, the two games, I remember this, the home match, it was an incredible game of football. I mean, it was absolutely brilliant to watch. I don't know if I'd like to have been in it, but it was brilliant to watch. And hopefully, you know, it'll be something similar over the two legs. I think going away from home, you've just got to make sure you keep yourself in the tie. That's the most important thing. Make sure you're going to have a great European night at Anfield once again in a second leg, and you don't give yourself too much of an uphill battle. And Liverpool are capable of doing that. I mean, I've seen them this season going from, you know, not a good performance to a really good one, and then coming back down again, and you're just hoping that, you know, on Wednesday evening it's going to be one of them good nights where everyone is fully focused and the players have learnt lessons from, you know, the two defeats.
Yeah, let's try and end on a positive. What gives you the confidence that we can turn it round and put in that big performance on Wednesday, Jace? Of course, with the second leg at Anfield, which is crucial too.
Listen, the dressing room is, you know, it's full of winners. It's full of characters. They need to, you know, come out of themselves. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. You're a really good team, a great bunch of lads. You know, you can put a performance in, like Ray said. You know, you come together on the night, you can produce a performance. You don't need to win the game. You just need to be in the tie.
That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Wednesday night with analysis and interviews from Paris after the first leg of Liverpool's Champions League quarter-final away to Paris Saint-Germain. Until then, if you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode when they drop.